Dear listeners, Sai Ram. We now bring you Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today's episode was first aired on 17th April 2014 as part of Thursday live programs on Asia Stream of Radio Sai. This program is hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu.
Let us offer our most prayerful and reverential salutations at the lotus feet of our most merciful beloved Bhagwan. Dearest Lord, please bless us so that we may walk on the footsteps shown by you with commitment, with dedication and with love. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome to this fresh episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today, we will be learning a bhajan dedicated to adoring our beloved Bhagwan as the Satguru, the Supreme Preceptor. This bhajan is in the language Hindi and the first line goes like this.
Dattatreya Sadguru Deva.
So this is what we will be learning now, and as always we will start with getting familiar with the lyrics and then we'll move on to learning its tune, the raga, the beat of this bhajan, the meaning of its every word, and in the end we will listen to Brother Sonam, a former student of Babas University, who is not only a gifted singer but also a blessed composer of many Sai bhajans. So let's begin with the lyrics.
Dattatreya Sadguru Deva Dehi Dehi Tava Shri Pada Seva Tum Hi Brahma Sanatana Deva Vishnu Narayana Shri Vasudeva Pannaga Bhushana Shiva Mahadeva Dehi Dehi Tava Shri Pada Seva.
Now that we know the lyrics, let's move on to learning how to sing this bhajan. You will first hear Brother Ravi Kumar sing every line without any musical accompaniments. Then you will hear Brother Anirudh follow every line. You too, dear listeners, please join him. This will help you to get a good idea of the tune of this bhajan.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale D Pancham. Dattatreya Sadguru Deva.
Dattatreya Sadguru Deva.
Dattatreya Sadguru Deva.
Dattatreya Sadguru Deva.
Dehi Dehi Tava Shri Pada Seva.
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 Tum Hi Brahma Sanatan Deva.
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 Vishnu Narayana Shri Vasudeva.
Vishnu Narayana ನಾರಾಯಣ ಶ್ರೀ ವಾಸುದೇವ
ವಿಷ್ಣು ನಾರಾಯಣ ಶ್ರೀ ವಾಸುದೇವ
ವಿಷ್ಣು ನಾರಾಯಣ ಶ್ರೀ ವಾಸುದೇವ
ಪನ್ನಗ ಭೂಷಣ ಶಿವ ಮಹದೇವ
ಪನ್ನಗ ಭೂಷಣ ಶಿವ ಮಹದೇವ
ಪನ್ನಗ ಭೂಷಣ ಶಿವ ಮಹದೇವ
ಪನ್ನಗ ಭೂಷಣ ಶಿವ ಮಹದೇವ
ದೇಹಿ ದೇಹಿ ತವ ಶ್ರೀಪಾದ ಸೇವಾ
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 ದತ್ತಾತ್ರೇಯ ಸದ್ಗುರುದೇವಾ.
So that is how this beautiful bhajan on Lord Dattatreya expresses itself in this melodious tune. And now for those of us who are keen to know more about the composition of this bhajan, Anirudh is here with us in the studios. So tell us, Anirudh, what is the raga behind this beautiful bhajan on Lord Dattatreya?
Saram Vishu, this bhajan, when you hear the first time, what raga comes to my mind is Shubha Panthorali in Carnatic music, and in Hindustani it is called Todi, which is very well common in bhajans. You have many other bhajans having the same feel and the tune. So immediately I related to the raga Shubha Panthorali. I'll just sing the Shubha Panthorali for you.
Yeah.
Initially, and then we'll go to the exact raga of the bhajan.
Okay.
Sa re ga ma pa dha ni sa sa ni da pa ma ga re sa.
This is a sampurna raga where you have all the seven notes. You have sa re, re is komal. Ga, ga is also komal, minor ga.
Ma, ma is tivra.
Ma is tivra, yeah.
Pa, dha,
dha is komal.
Ni,
ni shuddh.
Sa, sa ni da pa ma ga re sa.
This is Shubha Panthorali, or you can call it as Todi in Hindustani music. So initially when I heard the bhajan, and when I could relate this bhajan to other bhajans like
Shri Lakshmi Ramana Narayana,
all these bhajans had Shubha Panthorali flavor. So when I was writing the notations for this bhajan, line by line swaras, then I observed that, interesting, there was no pancham in this bhajan. But whereas Shubha Panthorali Arohana and Avarohana is
Sa Re Ga Ma Pa Dha Ni Sa Sa Ni Da Pa Ma Ga Re Sa
Pa is there. So then I was finding out which raga is this bhajan could be. And I was searching in internet also. Then it says that without the pancham in Shubha Panthorali, that is
Sa Re Ga Ma Dha Ni Sa Sa Ni Da Ma Ga Re Sa.
This is a raga which is new to us.
Yes.
It is called Shekara Chandrika. Okay. In the Carnatic music, and it is named as Gurjari Todi in the Hindustani classical music. So this was actually an interesting experience where initially we thought that it belongs to Todi or Shubha Panthorali, and then when you write the notations for each line, which actually shows that this is very important step in identifying the raga and even singing the bhajan in Shruti.
Yes, I think every time you do an exercise of this nature, it's always a learning experience, but sometimes Definitely. It is a revelation.
Yeah, this time it was a revelation that it belongs to Rag Shekhara Chandrika.
Yeah, wonderful. So do you think you can demonstrate to our listeners now from whatever you have gathered?
Definitely, I'll just try my best touching those notes.
Yes.
Just giving a feel
of this. Just so that, you know, we get a feel of how this raga flows.
And I'll also show how it is different from Shubhapadmavali.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is Shubhapadmavali. Actually, it's a very minor change.
Yes.
Where you feel that the entire feel of the raga remains the same. But when you land on that note, pa. And give that emphasis, there the difference is very well noticed. Even in the bhajan, Shri Lakshmi Ramana, the second line itself, Narayana, pa, pa, pa. So that emphasis is made in the pa. And after having this knowledge, now we can very well say that, okay, Sri Lakshmi Ramana belongs to Shubhapadmavali. And it is different from Shekhara Chandrika or Gurjari Todi.
Wonderful. So should we go on with the swaras that you just discovered, Anirudh?
Definitely, we'll go line by line.
Yeah, Arvind Sai is here. We'll follow after you sing each line.
Sure.
Dattatreya Sadgurudeva Sarigaresa Dasa Sariga
Sarigaresa Dasa Sariga
Dehi Dehi Tava Shri Pada Seva Sare ga da ma ga re 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 ga ma ga re sa
Sare ga da ma ga re 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 ga ma ga re sa
Tum hi Brahma Sanatan Deva Sare ga ma da da Daga mama dada ni mada mani da
Sariga mada da Daga mama dada ni mada mani da
Vishnu Narayana Shri Vasudeva Sa 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 ni sa ni sa da 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 ma da ma da ni sa sa
Sa sa sa ni sa ni sa da 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 ma da ma da ni sa sa
Panaga Bhushana Shiva Mahadeva Da ma da ni 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 Sari ga ga ri ga sari ni sa
Da ma ni ni Sari ga ga ri ga sari ni sa
Dehi dehi tava Shri Pada seva sa sa ni sa da 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 ga ma da da ni ma da ni sa
sa sa ni sa da 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 ga ma da ga ni ma da ni sa
dehi dehi tav shri pad seva sare ga da ma ga re 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 ga ma ga re sa
sare ga da ma ga re 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 ga ma ga re sa.
Wow, it really sounds so beautiful when you listen to the swaras of this bhajan. So are there more bhajans in this raga? Anything comes to your mind?
Yeah, in this raga, Shekhara Chandrika, the bhajan which comes to my mind is
Krishna Shri Hari Krishna Govinda Gopala Krishna Krishna.
Beautiful bhajan in this raga where there is no panchamam. Also you have
Ayodhya Vasi Ram hai Dwarak mein aaye.
This is also beautiful bhajan.
So shall we move on to the beat, Anil?
Yeah. The beat of this bhajan is Aditalam, 8 beat, and the count is 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1.
Dattatreya Sadguru Deva
Dattatreya Sadguru Deva.
So thank you Arvind Sai for demonstrating the beat on the Kanjira and Anirudh for conducting this session. Thank you so much both of you.
Thank you Vishu.
Thank you Vishu.
Sai Ram. Sai Ram.
So now that we are done with the lyrics, the raga and the tala of this bhajan, let's move on to understanding the bhava or the feeling with which we should sing this bhajan. And for this we need to know what each word in this bhajan means. So let's begin with the first line.
Dattatreya Sadguru Deva.
The first word is Dattatreya, which refers to a manifestation of divinity, who according to Indian culture and spirituality is an integration of the Holy Trinity of Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu and Lord Shiva, all the three in one form is what is Lord Dattatreya. The second word is Sadguru, meaning Sat, which means true, and Guru, which means preceptor. So Sadguru means the true preceptor. Baba also explains that Gu means darkness and Ru means light. So a guru is one who removes the darkness of ignorance and imparts the light of wisdom. Bhagwan also stresses that God alone can be the true guru, for he has the power of removing our ignorance and revealing the Atma or the eternal self to us. The third word is Deva, which means deity. In his treatise, Bhagavata Vahini, Swami writes elaborately about the dialogue between sage Sukha and King Parikshit, the grandson of the Pandava king Arjuna. There is a mention about Dattatreya in this. Sage Sukha says, on certain occasions, for resolving certain urgent crises, God has incarnated with forms embodying parts of His divinity with some divine powers and potentialities. Examples of such incarnations for the protection of the world are plenty. So saying, sage Sukha gives examples of the partial incarnations of the Lord, including Lord Dattatreya. The sage further says, Anasuya, the consort of sage Atri, prayed that the Lord may be born as the child of her womb, and the Lord replied, Datta, which means granted. Since the father's name was Atri, he was called Dattatreya or Dattatreya. Dattatreya showered the great treasure of yogic wisdom on Kartavirya Arjuna and Yadu, who were the emperors of high renown, endowed with all glory. So it is Dattatreya who granted the wisdom of the ultimate self to these kings, Kartavirajana and Yadu. There is a revealing incident shared by Brother Sriram, an alumnus of Bhagwan's University. Many years ago, one afternoon, the students were seated in the Purnachandra auditorium. The winter vacations were on and the students were blessed to watch a Telugu movie on Lord Dattatreya along with Bhagwan. As the movie went on, they watched Kartavirajana enter the hermitage of Dattatreya. Now, it was Kartavirajana's mother who had directed him to visit Dattatreya. She had told him that Dattatreya indeed would be Kartavirajana's guru. And after years of search, Kartavira had finally found the one whom his parents had said would be his god. So he took the thorny track that led to the guru's ashram and went there. He was tired, but he was thrilled because finally he had located and he was present in the ashram of who is going to be his guru. With every subsequent step, he felt the peace within just swell up. And he was expecting for that great boon of seeing his guru finally. And as he went in, stepped into that hermitage, he was shocked because, good God, he wondered, is this man supposed to be my guru? He felt that he was in a wrong place and perhaps he was looking at the wrong person, because the entire ashram reeked of liquor and putrid flesh, and Dattatreya himself emanated that aroma which was so unpleasant. And to compound matters, Dattatreya was seated and surrounded by a horde of women. He was not speaking about the Vedas, he was speaking the language, the lowly language of cobblers. And Kartavira was completely confused. He wondered, is he the great Dattatreya that my mother spoke so highly? It cannot be, definitely not. And even as he thought so, one drunken attendant of Dattatreya, who was serving his equally drunk master, came to Kartavira and said, yes, he is indeed Dattatreya. So Kartavira again composed himself and approached Dattatreya with folded palms. And as he went near and prostrated, plash, his whole body was covered with water. In fact, he fell down into a puddle of water. The attendants of Dattatreya threw Kartavirya into a pool of water. Kartavirya got up with difficulty. The difficulty was more mental than physical because this was too much of a humiliation to bear. He squeezed his dhoti dry, and now, even as he got up, the attendants of Lord Dattatreya threw Kartavirya out of the ashram, and Kartavirya was left wondering, what kind of a guru is this person? The scriptures say that a true guru rests not even for 100 births until his disciple has attained the ultimate reality. That is what is a true guru. But this guru has not only rejected me, but he has thrown me out of the ashram. Is he Dattatreya at all? He was totally confused. The mind was totally going bonkers. And Brother Sriram says, as this movie was going on, it seemed to us that it was the same story both on and off the screen. How many times have we held out a letter only to see Bhagwan turn his head and walk away? How many times have we knelt down to pray only to see him ignore our prayer? Swami would pretend deaf when we speak to him. He would reject the kerchief when we give him. Sometimes may not even look when we are trying all our best to catch his attention. So that is the parallel that Brother Sriram drew to the story. So coming back to the movie, Kartavirya resolved at that point to just to hold on to what his mother had said. And he clung on firmly to his parents' advice and he went back to Dattatreya. And Dattatreya continued to remain in that same stupor. But with faith, Kartavirya held on and he prayed. He prostrated, but he was abused, he was ridiculed, he was even beaten. But he did not move an inch. He stayed on, caught the feet of Dattatreya, and he prayed and prayed. And as he was doing this, suddenly fragrance filled the air. The woman and the drunken attendants changed to sages, and in place of the grotesque-looking guru stood a divine and effulgent form. Dattatreya smiled at Kartavirya and then placed his hand on this steadfast disciple's head, and with a single touch he gave him Brahmajnana, the highest of wisdom. And as the students were watching this, at this point suddenly the screen went blank because the movie was stopped at that point. And what did they see? They saw Bhagwan get up from his chair, and within a minute a table was brought and the mic was set up. Swami wanted to say something to all the students. Now, as everyone waited with bated breath, Bhagwan did not thunder, he did not shout with much ado, but very casually he said, "I am Dattatreya." And as the students looked at him with gaping mouths, Swami added, "Test is my taste." So that is our beloved Bhagwan as Dattatreya. It is the same Lord playing the same drama all the time. If we hold on to him despite the worst tests and ordeals he puts us through, he will certainly reward us with the ultimate in our lives. A true Sadguru is only interested in our spiritual growth, and he will do anything so that we too experience the bliss that he wants to bestow on us. So in this line, Dattatreya Sadgurudeva, we reverentially salute the Supreme God who incarnated as Dattatreya, the Supreme Teacher who confers on us the highest wisdom. Let's move on to the second line.
Dehi dehi tava Shri Pada Seva.
Here the first and second word is Dehi, which means grant. The third word is Tava, meaning your. Fourth word is Shri, which denotes a mark of respect. The fifth word is Pada, which means feet. Sixth word is Seva, which means service. Now Pada Seva means service of the feet. But what is true Pada Seva? Does it entail only touching the feet of the Lord and doing service? During a discourse on March 4, 1970, Swami said, "Every one of you has, I know, the yearning to do Pada Seva and fondly massage my feet. If I give the chance to all who are anxious to get it, what will happen to my feet? What a rush there will be around me. In the very nature of things, all those who yearn for such a blessing cannot be satisfied. But know that my feet are everywhere. Sarvata Pani Padam. In all places are there his hands and feet," says the Bhagavad Gita. The Purusha Shuktam of the Veda says, "Sahasra Shirsha Purusha Sahasraksha Sahasrapad." That is, the Supreme Sovereign Person has 1,000 heads, 1,000 eyes and 1,000 feet. And Baba then emphatically declared, "The heads, the eyes, the feet of the thousands who gather here are my heads, my eyes and my feet. The heads, the eyes and the feet of the thousands who gather here are indeed my eyes, my heads and my feet. If you nurse them, respect them and look after them, you would have done japam, dhyanam, puja, repetition of the name, meditation and worship." Therefore, serving Bhagwan's feet implies seeing him in all those around us and serving them. That is the spirit with which Bhagwan wants us to serve. He has always stressed that when we serve others, we too equally benefit from it. He says the seva attitude is most beneficial to the person rendering it as well as to others. Service is the best use to which the body can be put. In fact, you are not doing service to others, you are doing it always to yourselves, to the God in you, the God who is equally present in others. So in this line, Dehi Dehi Tava Shri Pada Seva, we pray to the Lord to bless us with the capacity to see him in all those around us and to serve them, just as we would serve his divine physical lotus feet if we ever got a chance. Let's move on to the third line.
Tum hi Brahma सनातन देवा.
The first word here is Tumhi, meaning you are. The second word is Brahma, referring to Lord Brahma, the first among the holy trinity of gods. The third word is Sanatana, meaning eternal and timeless. Therefore, in this line, Tumhi, Brahma, Sanatana Deva, we bow down reverentially to the eternal Lord who manifests as Lord Brahma, the creator. Let's now move on to the fourth line.
Vishnu Narayana Shiva Sudeva.
The first word here is Vishnu. Now Vishnu means the Lord who permeates everything and is inside every sentient and non-sentient being. This is the literal meaning of the word Vishnu. It means he who surrounds everything. The second word Narayana is another name of Lord Vishnu, the preserver of this creation. The word Narayana is the conjunction of two words, Nara and Ayana. Nara in Sanskrit means water, and Ayana refers to a resting place. So the name Narayana means the one whose resting place is water or the ocean. In fact, Lord Narayana is often depicted as the one reclining on the ocean of milk. But this is the superficial meaning of the name Narayana. The word Nara can be further interpreted as Na and Ra. Ra means to perish, Na means no. So Nara means that which does not perish. And this refers to the Jivatmas or the living entities or the individual souls, because the soul never dies, it only moves on. So in this sense, Narayana means the one whose Ayana or resting place is in all Naras or all living entities. To put it differently, Narayana is the one who abides in every being. He is the all-pervasive Lord who is present inside, outside, everywhere. Moving on, the third word is Shri, which we already know. The fourth word is Vasudeva. Now, this can be split into Vasu and Deva. Vasu is derived from the word Vasa, which means to reside or to envelop. The Lord is described as Vasu since he not only pervades the entire cosmos but also makes it live within himself like a mother. The whole creation is in him. In addition, he protects it by covering it like a bird that protects its young ones with its wings spread out. The other word Deva in this context means one who plays and sports. So the name Vasudeva refers to the omnipresent Lord who protects the universe and its beings through his various leelas and sports. When the Lord incarnated as Krishna, he was born as the son of Vasudeva, and this is another reason why he is called Vasudeva. But Swami has explained that Vasudeva indicates that the entire cosmos is the Lord's dwelling place. It also means that he is the supreme master of the universe. He is the one who resides in all beings as the indwelling spirit. So in this line, we adore the Lord who pervades the entire universe and who resides in all beings. Let's move on to the fifth line.
Pannagabhushana Shiva Mahadeva.
Pannaga means snake, Bhushana means ornament, and the third word is Shiva, which literally means auspiciousness, goodness, prosperity. Lord Shiva is always depicted as having snakes on his neck. Snakes are symbolic of evil tendencies and forces which Lord Shiva alone can subdue. Moreover, snakes represent the mental powers that are under the Lord's control. A coiled up serpent indicates the power of Kundalini Shakti or the dormant spiritual energy that resides within all of us. The fourth word is Mahadeva, which is an often used name for Lord Shiva. Here Maha means great and Deva means God. So in this line, Pannaga Bhushana, Shiva Mahadeva, we pay our obeisance to the Lord who is eternally auspicious, who is the controller of our evil tendencies, the master of all our mental faculties and spiritual energies. So if you see this line and all the previous lines, we realize that the first line is an adoration of Lord Dattatreya, but the subsequent lines, the third, fourth and the fifth, are dedicated to Brahma, Vishnu and Maheshwara respectively. So that is the elaboration of the Dattatreya principle. And finally, we come back to seeking the blessings of serving these almighty Lord's lotus feet. And that is what is conveyed in this last line, which is sung in two variations of tune.
Dehi dehi tava shri pada seva, dehi dehi tava shri pada seva.
So with that, we are done with understanding the inner meaning of every word of this bhajan, at least to some extent. And with this understanding, let's proceed to listening the complete version of this bhajan as it is sung in the Prashant Nilam Mandir.
Dattatreya Sadgurudeva,
And now in the last part of this program, here is an excerpt of a conversation that we had with Brother Sonam, a very senior alumnus of Baba's University, who was blessed to not only sing in the divine presence for many years, but also who had the blessed opportunity of composing many Sai bhajans and offering at the Lord's lotus feet.
I joined Bhagwan's college in Whitefield in Bangalore in the year 1978. And then we were waiting for Bhagwan to come. And right after Guru Purnima, for the first time, I had Swami's darshan as a student. And the first thing that he did was he was waiting near the entrance for the warden, our revered Mr. E. Sudarshan. And then he blessed him, asked him about the students, the newcomers. And that very evening he was in the hostel. And the most wonderful experience that I had that day, the senior ones, they just pushed me right to the front. And then they nudged me and said, "You must sing that bhajan which you sang in the institute." And as usual, as it happens even today, we had an audition and I got selected. And as a pre-university student, that is equivalent to class 11.
Yes.
I had the rare opportunity to sing a bhajan in the morning prayer in the institute. And that's what they wanted me to sing before Bhagwan. And I sang it before Bhagwan, Giridhari Lal Shyam Gopal, a bhajan that I had learned in Calcutta, and I sang it there. And then, after the bhajan, when Swami was going back to the bungalow, some seniors came and told me that, "Look, Swami was inquiring about you." And Swami asked the principal, Professor D. Narinder, "Who is that boy who sang today?" So he described, he told him about me and he's from Sikkim, and Swami just feigned his ignorance about me and said, "Oh, is that so?" The next day, in the morning darshan, Swami just looked for me and then he said, "You sing very well."
Wow.
It was such a compliment that I can never forget in my life.
You've just come into Bhagwan's university just second day and he's already giving you, he's patting your back.
And then he said that you be prepared to sing for my jhula. And you can't imagine the way I took off. Today in retrospect, when I think of these, as you rightly said, I had to tell you these few words. Because really, through bhajan, Swami made my life. If I live today, if I'm happy today, satisfied, contented, it's all because of bhajans.
Wow.
And imagine bhajans being taught to people who were total novices in singing. I was more into Western music and living a very flamboyant life out there in Sikkim and then later on in Kalimpong, Darjeeling. But when I came in his fold, like he brought me to him, and then he made me sing bhajan, and then the empowerment, the immensity of that empowerment is something that cannot be expressed in terms of words. So if at all today you are asking me to sing some bhajans, we are just, putting name tags on each other and saying that so-and-so is a legend in bhajan, so-and-so is a legend in speaking. It is all, these are endowments from Bhagwan. And the way it happened, the way that particular moment empowered me into thinking that I could sing. Because nobody had told me, except my mother, that I could sing well.
Until then?
Until then. And when Swami told me that you sing very well, I wanted to sing. And then since that day, I started singing. And those were the times when we were just learning bhajans here and there. And I was learning from the seniors and then singing. But gradually, it so happened that that empowerment, it manifested in terms of experiences that I could not really imagine what was happening.
So that was an excerpt of a conversation with Brother Sonam from Sikkim, a former student of Baba's University who is very active in the Sai Bhajan movement in India and elsewhere. And that brings us to the end of the present episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have any comments or feedback, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. The audio engineers for this program are Abhishek and Sunil. The background score was done by another alumnus from Chennai, T.S. Ramakrishnan. We offer this humble attempt at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan.
You were listening to an episode of our program Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. This episode was first aired on 17th April 2014 as part of Thursday Live from Prashantinilam on Asia stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. This program was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Thank you and Sai Ram.